Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
It's a good feeling when you know players want to be here.
For me as a player, you know, it's not my job to make Mitch's job easier. It's to make his job easy.
Smooth dude, man. I like his swag a little bit. It's nice.
Strong words from Ryan Pace and Allen Robinson as the Bears introduce their new toys at Halas Hall. We'll break down how Matt Nagy might be the biggest recruiting tool of all as the Bears add some firepower to their offense this week. And the Ramblers pull off a stunner, beating six-seeded Miami on a last-second shot from Simeon's Dante Ingram. March Madness is officially underway, and we are live coming up next on Sports Talk Live. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. We are live at the Brick House in Wrigleyville. Big March Madness party going on here. They've got a Pop-A-Shot tournament coming up over the next 4 days. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great panel. We got Seth Gruen from Big Ten Unfiltered, Phil Rogers from MLB Network, and Jay Cohen from the Associated Press. Let's get right to it, guys. We want to talk about a lot of basketball before we get to Blackhawks pregame live. We only got a half hour today because they got an hour-long pregame show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Loyola pulls it off. Our Ank and Law poll question tonight is, do they have a shot to beat Tennessee on Saturday? What do you think?
Well, sure. I think in particular with these weekend games, the lower seed definitely has a shot because you don't have as much time to prepare for what you haven't seen before. And I think that's why you see so many upsets in this tournament, is that you just don't have a lot of data. You don't have a lot of tape on each of these teams, or at least tape, the kind of tape you do against conference opponents.
Also, it's going to be Tennessee on a neutral site.
Right.
You know they won't be intimidated. They went to Florida and beat Florida and kind of the win that really got them rolling. That said, Tennessee's playing really well. They went to the final of the SEC tournament, and they had a first-round walk. They're going to be a really much tougher opponent than they had today.
It's not even a neutral site in the sense that if Loyola is in that game, the crowd is going to be with them because it is Tennessee has a lot of size up front, and you know, Loyola doesn't. It's going to be key is how they defend those interior players for Tennessee.
I mean, physically they're outmatched, but that's the NCAA tournament. You look at teams, I mean, Tennessee lost 8 games this year. It's not like you're talking about a team that has 3 wins or 3 losses all year. They can be beaten. On paper, it looks like Loyola doesn't have a shot, but you know what? There really aren't any upsets. I don't even consider today's win over Miami necessarily an upset for Loyola. I think half the country probably picked Loyola to win this game. And 11-6 is a toss-up now in college basketball.
And look, we see this every year, right? We see the double-digit seeds get to that second weekend. So it wouldn't be unheard of or all that surprising if Loyola did. Maybe Loyola is that team. I don't know, I guarantee you there will be a double-digit seed that gets there.
Oh, totally agree. And you know what was exciting about today, I thought, was you had a Chicago product hitting the three-pointer from Simeon to go ahead and move them forward. They hadn't been there in 30 years, Loyola, and you get a local kid from the local school to move them on. That was cool.
You also had a Simeon product getting Gonzaga.
Yeah, they had
past
two of them.
The first round, too. And, huge day for those Simeon kids. You're right about, you know, Loyola is a heavily Chicago team. And, today sort of it's awesome, but it's also a little bit painful to think that it's an unusual time for Chicago to have a horse in the fight. You know, I mean, this is what DePaul should be doing on a regular basis. I mean, Chicago should have these kind of teams more often.
What an unbelievable shot. I mean, the kid was at least a foot or two outside the three-point line, and to feel the confidence to take that shot, it was a really great shot.
Dante Ingram didn't have much choice. I mean, the clock was winding down. I agreed with, hey, push it forward. They're not ready for it defensively. And all of a sudden, he just sort of stepped back and took a deep NBA three from straight on. He looked like Steph Curry. It was total confidence out there.
Give Loyola credit. I mean, they took a punch earlier in that half. I mean, they were down 7 or 9 early, and they just stayed with it. Well coached. Smart, played within themselves all day long.
I'd be happy for Porter Moser if he got a big job out of this, another job, but I also would love to see him stay at Loyola. He drew up a great play to get them tied late in the game for a three-point shot. He made some great decisions, and obviously he's built a really good program in just a short amount of time there.
Luke, that was an unbelievable play that he drew up, about a minute and a half left, and you see the guy drives, and goes flying out of bounds and passes it to the wing to Custer.
I mean,
that was a big time play.
I think they called a hammer play, right, where you go through a baseline. It was a really great play.
And they were patient with him, too. I mean, it's taken a while to build up this program, but, you know, you said it, Luke. He's going to have his pick of jobs when this tournament's over. And I don't know, you read a lot, you hear a lot. He's at the top of the list of mid-major coaches who, you know, pundits think are going to make that jump.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, Loyola better give him a hefty raise to keep him in Rogers Park.
He's going to take on Tennessee, and apparently his hair is trending on Twitter. It's very popular right now with March Madness going on. What do we have for poll results going on? I don't have a monitor out here. What? So there you have it. You know, I think they have a chance. I really do. I think they have a chance to beat Tennessee.
Nice jacket today as well. Not just the hair. The sports coat was really good.
We like his jacket, and we like the way he drew up plays. Porter Moser is the winner of the day, along with the two kids from Simeon. Let's get to the Bears. They introduced their free agents today, and it sounds like their new head coach has been something that's been drawing these players up to Hallis Hall.
It's a good feeling when you know players want to be here, you know? And you can feel that, Brad, and I think that's accurate. You know, I think, you know, it starts, you know, with our staff and with Matt Nagy and our quarterback and the city of Chicago, and there was a different vibe this year.
The coach, the quarterback, you know, some of the players, again, it's been a top 10 defense, you know, the past two seasons, you know. So, I mean, bringing in some guys like Taylor Gabriel, you know, Trey and myself, you know, some guys who have played in good offenses, you know, and who have had production, you know. And I think it's, for me as a player, you know, it's not my job to make Mitch's job easier. It's to make his job easy. So, I mean, that's something that I want to come in here and do.
Oh, man. I remember the first conversation I had, he had so much juice on the phone, you know, it kind of like brought me back. But him and Doug are really similar, and I'm really, really excited to get to know him a little bit more and his family as well.
Smooth dude, man. I like his swag a little bit. It's nice. But just his offensive mind, meeting him the first time, it felt like I knew him for a long time, not just meeting him for the first time. So I feel like we're going to gel together and create a lot of things and create a lot of mismatches. So I'm excited.
So Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they now have given some weapons to Mitchell Trubisky, and that's really the story of early free agency. I mean, listen, free agency is a roll of the dice. It's a gamble, but on paper, it looks like the Bears did a really good job.
Yeah, look, Matt Pace checked off that first box this offseason, which was, as you said, to put weapons around Mitch Trubisky. Now, it's up to Mitch Trubisky to prove whether or not he's the franchise quarterback the Bears, well, at least thought he was when they traded up to get him.
It also puts them in a position with the draft coming up where they can be more versatile. They're not trapped into taking Calvin Ridley from Alabama. I watched him a lot down the, you know, late in the college season. Never really saw him have a game that made me think this is a guy that's going to turn around the pro team. You know, now maybe they could even trade out of that position and get a two-for-one sort of a deal going.
That's a really good point.
They can go impact player here. They can go whichever player they think best fits their team, but more importantly, the best impact player on the board.
Right. If they felt like they were going to have to draft out of need, assuming maybe they lost out on some of these guys, you know, now they can go best on board.
Yeah, give him credit. I mean, when you go and pick the guys they did, I mean, there was competition for those guys. They were not picking off the bottom of the barrel. So those guys chose to come here. Obviously, money is the biggest concern, but they obviously liked something about the situation. Nagy, Pace, Trubisky. I mean, it's a vote of confidence for that.
They must have showed them that Trubisky preseason tape when they let him throw the ball downfield.
Cautious optimism, though. I love free agency. The first day of free agency is fun. You see all these players going different places. You had some guys going to the Raiders today. It's fun, but guys are free agents for a reason, mostly because some other team let them go for a reason. And so while I'm excited about Robinson and Burton and these other guys, somebody else let them go.
Yeah, look, and sometimes it's a salary cap issue.
Sure.
So that's not to say that these guys aren't prizes. These guys aren't guys who could impact this franchise and hopefully get them back to the playoffs. But I agree with you. I'm not the type of person who's going to do cartwheels on day one of free agency, simply because I've seen so many of these things go sideways. When the Bears traded for Jay Cutler, everybody was ready to plan the ticker tape parade, and it didn't go all that well.
The good thing about what they did with the targets was they got multiple guys. So you can have a bust if you get hit on another one or two guys, you open it up. But now it's the offensive line. I mean, when I say they, you know, probably that number eight pick, you know, maybe, you know, you hope the Notre Dame guy slides. It doesn't look like he will. But, you know, they've got to do something to get Trubisky some protection.
Yeah, historically, the numbers on free agency are pretty bad. I mean, guys hit on half these guys. They become great, perfect. You know, so, yeah, you do need to temper your optimism. It looks great on paper, and March is a time for optimism for football. But, I mean, at least a couple of these guys are not going to work out real well.
Josh Sitton to the Dolphins today.
Yeah, and look, regarding what Phil said, if there's one thing that Ryan Pace has proven he's willing to do, it's to trade up to get that impact guy. So if you feel like you need an offensive lineman that isn't going to slide to you, I think Ryan Pace is the guy who will make that move up.
All right, so the Bears have a big first weekend. We'll see how they continue this, and of course it leads right into the draft where they really have to do most of their work. That's where they have to hit, is in the draft. More Sports Talk Live is coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk baseball. Aaron Judge is happy to be with the Yankees. He's happy to have Giancarlo Stanton there, but he wants more. Major League Baseball, a little slap on the wrist for Mr. Judge this afternoon.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live. All season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Sports Talk Live from the Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville, and we have your Chevy Stadium. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton combined for 111 home runs, 259 RBI, 251 runs, and now Judge is trying to recruit Manny Machado. But today, Major League Baseball, a little slap on the wrist for saying, hey, you can't publicly go out there and say you want Manny Machado on the New York Yankees, although that would make an unbelievable lineup if he ever did go to New York.
The histrionics of this are just really amusing in the sense that this type of stuff goes on all the time behind the scenes. And if you're Manny Machado, I mean, you could do the math. You know where the money's going to come. You know the Yankees are one of the few teams that could offer him the money and have like a third base type of shortstop hole or area where they could add. So, I mean, he knows this is coming. The whole thing's hilarious.
Yeah, I guarantee it was Peter Angelos, the Orioles owner, going ballistic to MLB's office that prompted that. But the Orioles, they can make it go away. Just sign Manny Machado. Sure. I mean, you know, all these free agents that are out there this year, just sit back. We're looking forward to another 9 months of this.
I am interested to see how Stanton and Judge work together in the Yankees lineup this year, though. That's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, work together. Look, each at bat is an individual occurrence, but I think everybody's kind of wondering, what is this thing going to look like? What are the power numbers going to look like? And what's it going to equate to? Because I think, and Phil, I defer to you on this, but I think baseball's become a lot about strikeouts and home runs.
You know, it's interesting. No question it has, Seth. And you know, you do hear people talking in spring training about on-base percentage, not so much batting average, but need to get runners on base for those sluggers. And that strikeouts and empty out, not good. But the guy that's the real winner with the Yankees, if he has any kind of a year, Greg Bird, who nobody talks about and happens to be the Yankees' cleanup hitter, hitting behind those guys. You know, you got D.D. Gregorius hitting around those guys. That lineup is really, really good.
Yeah, the thing about the Yankees is, and I'm not really interested, they're going to score a lot of runs.
Sure.
Those guys are going to hit a zillion home runs. But that pitching staff, I mean, especially the starters, there's a couple of serious question marks there. I mean, they're going to have to win a lot of games, 12-9, 11-7.
They're not a perfect team. They're not a perfect team.
But no, people have kind of anointed them, and they have some serious questions.
But here again, a loaded system where they can go out and make a move for a pitcher at the deadline if they need to.
And they got the bullpen. You know, if you talk about a team that's going to be five and fly with their starting pitchers this year, you know, maybe Luis Severino might get deep into games, but all those other starters are just going to be five and fly.
Speaking of relief pitchers out there, Phil, Justin Grimm released by the Cubs today. Does it surprise you at all, or is this one that you saw maybe happening on the horizon? They don't have a ton of moves to make, the Cubs, but this is one that you saw may or may not happen this spring.
Yeah, no, it's not a real surprise. You know, when they tendered him the contract, let him go to arbitration instead of cutting him in December, early December at that deadline. Don't let him get a look at him in spring training. They could make their decisions. Look at their other guys. It's a vote for Eddie Butler, who's apparently looking very good. You know, velocity's up. You know, I just think they felt like he's a replaceable I wonder if he might wind up on the South side. To me, he's a White Sox. Grab him and then see. Maybe you can trade him at the deadline.
Flip him in July.
He was always going to pitch in very low leverage situations, losses early middle of the game. They could get what they're going to get out of him, out of Dylan Maples, Eddie Butler, guys that were probably cheaper than him anyway.
You know, speaking of the South side, Jose Quintana, where do you put him in? I was starting to wonder today, is he sort of the forgotten guy in the rotation? I think people are underestimating how much he could mean to this Cubs rotation. There's a lot of talk about Darvish. Everybody still talks about Lester and Hendricks. Quintana could be the guy, in my opinion, that wins the most games and has the lowest ERA out of all of them. He's the guy that could be in the Cy Young conversation.
I totally agree that he could be a top five Cy Young type guy. He came to the Cubs last year. It was a step back year for him. If you look at his performance from April through September, they did not see his best. I mean, he had some big starts. Certainly the one in Baltimore, his first one, was a big kind of turning point. Joe Maddon's talked about that ad nauseum. But really, last year, Jose Quintana's biggest start was in March for Colombia in the World Baseball Classic. And whether that contributed to it or not, he did not pitch as well last year as he did in 2015, 2016.
He's certainly shown that ability. You know, we saw it on the South side. He didn't always get the run support, but he has the ability to be as dominant, really, as any pitcher in baseball. So, absolutely, I agree. Come playoff time, you could go into October. He could be your ace.
We'll see what happens with the Cubs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with him slotted at number four, he's going to be pitching against a lot of guys that are not as good a pitcher as he is.
I mean, to think of him as a four in a rotation is sort of scary. We talk about the Yankees lineup. The Cubs rotation might be just as scary the other way. Funny stuff in baseball today. Former Cubs manager Dale Swaim is with the Royals, but he had a little bit of a neck issue, so he went to the doctor and he was going to miss the team photo today. So Jim Caviezel, the guy who played Jesus in Passion of the Christ, is apparently friends with Mike Sweeney. He was at the ballpark, so he stood into Swaim's spot so that when it comes time, Jesus from Passion of the Christ could step aside and they could Photoshop Swaim's face over the body of the actor. Now, how ridiculous is that story?
That's fake news, Luke.
This is the kind of stuff Cap doesn't bring you. Like that, you don't know that story if he's here. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dale Swaim. It's an inside scoop. You got anything like that, Phil?
No, I'll have to work on that. The Royals team photo, Photoshop. I think that's a Russian bot at work.
I do, too. I don't even know how it made it into the show, to be honest with you. All right, when we come back, more Sports Talk Live from the Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville. March Madness is underway. Loyola's marching on. And we've got more coming up next live on Sports Talk Live.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. We are taking you right up to Blackhawks pregame live. Blackhawks and Jets coming up on NBC Sports Chicago. The pregame show starts at 6 o'clock with Pat Boyle and Adam Burrish. Back here at the Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville, what are you watching for the rest of the season when you're watching the Blackhawks game? What are you looking for? Anything?
Well, I think you're watching those young defensemen to see how quickly they could develop. That's going to be the biggest key to if they can turn around this year. You're looking for a strong finish from Jonathan Toews, who's had a really bad year, and that's a significant issue for them given the contract. So there are a couple of things that they need to see that could determine how they do the offseason.
They have committed to some of these defensemen, these young guys, and they're all going to be back next year, so you want to see how they develop. I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any time in a year like this, it's important to see how young guys develop. I'm also watching for reports about what may change as far as that front office is concerned, as far as that maybe that coaching staff is concerned. I think that's the real topic du jour at this point.
And also just watching for all those core guys, whatever. It's been a terrible year for Duncan Keith. What if he could, you know, get back and have some kind of a finish? You know, who knows how long we're going to be able to see these guys certainly together. And it's sad to see it go out, you know, in a year like this. But man, what a run they've had.
I'm also interested, and I don't think they're going to put Corey Crawford back on the ice, nor do I think they should.
No.
But I'm interested in that. And then, you know, given what happened to Crawford this year, if none of these goaltenders step up, they need to go out and sign a guy that they feel like could start if Corey's out for an extended part. That was a huge problem for them.
Golf today, Tiger Woods, 4-under. He has become the favorite all of a sudden at Augusta in Vegas. How about that? The change of Tiger Woods' career. You never would have said, even a month ago, Tiger Woods would be near the top of the favorites going into the Masters.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. It makes the Masters a heck of a lot more interesting for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch the majors. I might tune in on a Saturday, but I'm more a Sunday guy. I'm watching this thing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm watching all four
this
days.
This weekend.
Because of that?
Yeah.
PGA Tour has been great lately with Justin Thomas has been fantastic. You know, I think the good golfers, Phil Mickelson is back playing well. The top golfers are playing more than they used to. It's been a good run.
The favors thing is a complete overreaction.
Sure, it's
he
Vegas.
Is not the favorite. I mean, and just maybe in betting line only. But I will say this. It's fun not only to watch him play well, but to see how relieved he is. I mean, he made a 71-footer today. And the smile on his face, I mean, it's nice to see him play and be happy again, I guess.
Well, what does he have to lose?
He also hit one out of bounds today, and he looked like he was going to break somebody's neck if they bumped into him as he walked back to the fairway. He was like steam was coming out of his ears. That was the old Tiger.
He hit a 71-foot putt today. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. I don't know what it means for golf. I wonder what it's like for the young stars of the game who are now looking around saying, man, I always looked up to this guy. I don't necessarily need him. It's great for them and for the game for him to be good right now, but in the peak of their career, I'm not sure they're super excited deep down that he's back.
They benefit, certainly.
Sure they do.
Because they benefit from an increase in ratings and more eyes on them, which equates to endorsements, which are so huge for golfers. So I think they'd be short-sighted to think that this isn't good for not only the sport, but them as well.
So far, they're saying all the right things.
Yeah.
I mean, they are excited. They say that stuff. I will say this. It is interesting to me to watch Tiger compete now. And he created the situation that makes it so hard to win there. I mean, it's a new generation of golfers they come back to who are in great shape. They're terrific athletes, much better than he used to compete against, and now it's harder to win.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.